Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Sarah Mealy. I'm sitting in for Corey Regan. Now, thanks for joining us today. Corey is getting very close to the arrival of her baby, and I'll be filling in for her for the next couple of months. And we'll keep you posted on the much-anticipated arrival of baby number four, or Quattro, as I believe that he or she is lovingly referred to by the Regan family.
That's a much better nickname than my daughter and her husband gave to theirs,
yeah?
Skeletor.
Oh, that I'm going to go with Quattro every time.
I like Quattro much better.
Yeah, we did. We have four kids ourselves, and we never knew the sex of the baby. We always wanted to wait and see what the good Lord brought us.
Sure, absolutely. Well, here's a look at what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. We've got a great show, including an Answering the Call doubleheader. First, we'll talk with a woman some call America's Mother Teresa. Mary Jo Copeland discusses her new biography, Great Love. That's hitting bookstores right now.
And then you'll hear it here first, folks, the new single called Rediscover by a talented young musician named Elliot Morris. Now, we have the world premiere here of this song on the show today. Plus, we'll talk with Elliot, who has toured with big names like John Mayer and Counting Crows. But he realized that life on the concert circuit really just didn't compare to life at home with family and a different kind of calling. So you won't want to miss this inspiring story, and you can find out how he's using his music to share the faith.
And for some people, ministry is making beautiful music. For others, teaching the faith to children or serving the poor. We'll hear from dedicated local servants of the Church who perform their ministry in spreadsheets and financial forms.
Yeah, but we'll start our show as we always do with checking in with Joe Towalski, who is editor of the Catholic Spirit. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How is life treating you at the Catholic Spirit these days? You're in between issues, aren't you?
That's right. Treating me very well, but keeping me busy as well. So that's always a good thing.
Well, what are you working on?
Well, you know, next Wednesday is a big day for us. We'll be holding the 12th annual Leading with Faith Awards luncheon at St. Catherine University to honor men and women who, through their words and actions, witness to their faith in Christ in the workplace. And these winners do it exceptionally well. And the awards are presented by the Archdiocese. And, you know, they originated about a dozen years ago at a time when the business world was coming under a lot of criticism for, you know, unfortunately, the unethical practices of some top-level executives at some pretty prominent national companies. And the Leading with Faith Awards were and are a way to recognize business owners and managers and executives from a variety of fields who are doing it right, you know, whose business practices reflect the teachings of Christ and the Church. And it's always a great event. Archbishop Neinstedt presents the awards at the luncheon, where their recipients can also share a few words about their experiences. And we also feature each of the winners in a special section in the Catholic Spirit. And this year, there are 10 awardees, including two couples, and they range from a president of a financial services firm, and we have a vice president of a construction company, to a community college dean and a radio station owner. So you can read all about them in the August 15th issue of the paper, and if anyone is interested in finding out more about the awards and the luncheon or about how they can nominate someone who leads with faith for next year's awards, they can find all that information at thecatholicspirit.com.
I have to tell you that all of these people, all of the nominees as well as the award winners, are always such an inspiration.
They are, and I'm just always touched when they go up to the podium to receive their award and they can say a few words. And, you know, there have been some years where a number of people, you know, when they talk about what they do and how their faith really motivates that, it, you know, it almost brings them to tears. And as we're sitting there listening, you know, at the tables, it brings a lot of us to close to tears as well.
Oh, sure, yeah. So what's next?
Well, you know, speaking of sharing our faith, the Archdiocese is launching a new website at rediscovershare.com, dedicated to helping Catholics of the Archdiocese share personal stories of conversion and renewal and how Christ is working in their lives, really to give reason for their hope, as St. Peter tells us. So you can go to the site and watch videos of people giving their personal testimony. Many of them have been featured in the Catholic Spirits Rediscover pullout section in the past. But the site also makes it very easy for visitors to share their own stories.
Oh, cool.
They can upload a video that they shoot or write a story that, you know, maybe send us a photo as well. And there are even some tips there about how to go about putting together your story and, you know, some step-by-step instructions that walk you through the process very easily.
And anymore, it's not hard.
That's right. And Sarah, you've been very involved in putting this website together, and you might want to add to this, but you know, the hope is that a lot of Catholics in the Archdiocese will take advantage of this opportunity, because these testimonies, you know, when they're viewed by other people, really have the power to inspire and to provide hope and to really change lives.
Yeah, and I hope people do check out the August 15th edition of the Catholic Spirit. There's a whole article on that. It'll go in a little more detail.
Absolutely. And you know, in a world that's really cluttered with all sorts of media and messages, and a lot of them that, you know, unfortunately aren't good or healthy when it comes to our spiritual lives, it's important to speak about our faith. And, you know, I keep going back to what Archbishop Neinstedt said in his pastoral letter last year on the new evangelization, which is, we're all called to be evangelists, and this website really helps us to be able to do that.
We can't hide it under a bushel basket.
That's right.
That's right. And you know, on the topic of Rediscover, too, next week's section in the Spirit will focus on the topic of the local church, specifically questions like what's a parish? What's a diocese?
Well, that should be interesting.
Yeah, and how do these designations, how do these originate and why? And we have Father Michael Van Sloan, a priest of our archdiocese, as a regular contributor who will answer those questions. But we also have an interview with a person who's very familiar to listeners of the Rediscover Hour show, Corey Regan. She talked to us earlier this week about how she came to appreciate the local church as being more than just her parish, that it's the whole diocese, or archdiocese in our case, that holds us together as Catholics, you know, under the care of our archbishop. And for Corey, her involvement in the Rediscover Initiative at her parish and through co-hosting this show really helped her to see and appreciate the importance, I think, and the value of this understanding of the local church. And let's listen to a little bit of our interview with her.
Local church. To me, initially, I think of the building across the street from my house, St. Peter's, and my parish. But I think it's changing for me just because of how involved I am in the archdiocesan things that are going on. I mean, I really think that's our local church, because that's kind of where initiatives like this start and get spearheaded, and then they hopefully spread down and get support at the parish level. So for me, I'm now seeing local as the Twin Cities, our church, because there's so much more going on archdiocesan-wide than just what happens at your parish. And also recognize that you are a part of something bigger, this community of Catholics that are not just your neighbors, but are people all around the Twin Cities, all, you know, striving to be better people and to be closer to Jesus and to do things that are good for the community. It was certainly the Rediscover Initiative that kind of sparked, you know, me to see it that way, because I don't know if I just wasn't made aware of all the events that go on that are not just parish events, but, you know, Twin Cities events and archdiocesan events. But I, you know, was surrounded by things that were going on in a bigger scale. And so it's kind of like once I started seeing this initiative, the Rediscover group of things going on, the speaker series, all of the things that they've been doing, it's also opened my eyes to things like, you know, the walks that they do, the processions from, you know, to the cathedral on certain events, things like that that I never really either didn't know about or never thought about going to. Certainly, I thought I was doing enough at this level, you know, the local parish level. So it just opened my eyes to a bunch more opportunities of ways to learn and get involved and share and proclaim my faith.
Kind of interesting to hear someone's understanding of church evolve like that.
Right, and broaden, and you can read more about what Corey has to say about that and her own faith story in our August 15th Rediscover section.
Excellent, excellent.
And lastly, you know, I had the wonderful opportunity yesterday to interview a very talented musician and songwriter, Elliot Morris, who, as we heard, wrote the Rediscover song and will be on the show later. And, you know, we talked about his growing up in the South as a Catholic. He's from Mobile, Alabama, and lives in Memphis, Tennessee, and about his music and the Rediscover song and how his faith has really helped guide him through his whole life, topics, you know, I'm sure he'll be talking about later on the show. But folks can also read more about him in next week's paper as well.
Look forward to that. Hey, give us the highlights one more time on the Leading with Faith Awards.
Well, that'll be next Wednesday at St. Catherine University, the luncheon. And
can a person still get tickets?
Yeah, you know, if they go to our website there, there's you know, some information about how to do that at thecatholicspirit.com.
Excellent. Joe, thanks so much as always, and we'll look forward to all of that in the August 15th issue of The Catholic Spirit.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Well, Joe, you can hear him every week here. He's the editor of The Catholic Spirit, and every Friday here on the Rediscover Hour, he comes and gives a little highlight on what's coming up in The Catholic Spirit, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Well, coming up, an interview that Corey and I recorded with Mary Jo Copeland about her local ministry that's changed the lives of so many people. The founder of Sharing and Caring Hands has a new biography out in bookstores now. We'll have a preview.
Yeah, plus, he's been on tour around the country with some big names in popular music. Now, he's been inspired, actually, by our work here in this local church to write a song called Rediscover. And we'll talk with singer-songwriter Elliot Morris in a little later in the show. But first, here's a little listen to Rediscover as we go to break.
All for one, one for another. Every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover. Yeah. And the glory of God is now fully alive. Yeah, the glory of God. This
is a great time of year to get organized for the busy months ahead. Part of getting organized should be preparing a simple will and trust. I'm attorney Michelle McDonald, and I want the best for my clients. But frankly, many don't understand the perils and delays of probate court and how a simple will and trust could help you and your family. At the McDonald Law Firm, we make estate plans, elder and family law mediations easy to understand. We'll help your family avoid court altogether. Feel secure in protecting the many areas of your family's legal needs. And the best part is, it's a free consultation.
Save your family thousands of dollars and protect them from the delays of probate and other family law issues. Call attorney Michelle McDonald at 651-222-4400. Michelle McDonald and her clients founded the Family Innocence Project, a nonprofit foundation. Discover their mission by visiting familyinnocence.org.
You can also visit relevantradio.com. Keyword law.
And I just showed up for my own life. And I'm standing here taking it in, and it sure looks bright. I'm gonna live my life inspired. For the holy.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. She has been called America's Mother Teresa. Her work has been celebrated by former President George Bush and President Barack Obama. And after more than a quarter century of service to the poor, with every day ending in exhaustion, she shows no signs of slowing down.
Yeah, we're honored to be joined today by Mary Jo Copeland, the founder of Sharing and Caring Hands. And a revised and updated version of Great Love, The Mary Jo Copeland Story, is in bookstores now. Also joining us today is the author of Great Love, Michelle Peterson Hink. And thank you guys for taking the time to talk with us today.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Now, Mary Jo, tell us a little bit about the book and what you hope the readers can gain from reading this book and what message you want them to walk away with.
I think the message that I'd want to walk away with this book is that everybody can make a difference. You know, this isn't just me. The story about my life is something that will help people in their lives be able to, wherever they are, to look at their lives and say, what can I do to make a difference in the lives of those I meet? Maybe I've got depression. Maybe from that depression I'll be able to get out and help someone else, and I won't have so much. Maybe there's people that don't know what to do with their lives. Maybe they're wandering around, and I'm thinking, we don't have time to wander around. This book can bring people to really make a difference in prisons, in nursing homes, in children's centers with tutoring needed all over the country. I'm just hoping that we can really look at poverty and be able to know that we can make a difference. People are born into poverty and don't have to live in it. They can have the help of others to get out of that cycle.
Michelle, I'm dying to know how you first met Mary Jo.
I met Mary Jo the first time almost 13, 14 years ago. I went down to volunteer like many, many others have. I had never been down there before. I hadn't met Mary Jo before, and I was just blown away by the extent of her outreach and the way, the care that she just puts out to people. I came away from the experience just really, I felt compelled to be involved with her to help her in some way. And at the time, I really, you know, I was a freelance artist. I didn't have a lot of money to give away, but I enjoyed writing. And I thought, you know, a woman like this does not come along every day, and she must have one heck of a story to tell. And turns out she does.
That she did, right?
Was she a good worker, Mary Jo?
Oh, yeah. She was here at 5 o'clock in the morning, many mornings. Yes, many, many mornings.
And do you think you're trying to inspire other people to get involved with these efforts to serve the poor? And why do you think serving with this personal compassion that you guys obviously both have and putting a face on the poor is so important?
Well, I think because in our world, there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of people that say, well, they're on welfare or they could do better with their lives. And I think that once we put that aside, we can put a face on people that are in poverty. And, you know, not everybody's poor because they want to be.
True.
I think, you know, people have a set of circumstances that have brought them down to where they are, and they need a lot of hope. Hope isn't just a wish. It's a promise that none of us walk alone. And I think we put that virtue of hope aside. I really do, because we, at Mary's place, you know, I have hundreds of children over there, and these people come broken, and they leave with such a peace and such a hope of a better future, and we need this in all our cities. You know, the government does not have the love and compassion that the private sector has.
That's true.
Not at all. And that's why we have to bring that back to the individuals, to the churches, to ourselves. Each one of us have our call to make a difference, our Lord said. And not just Mary Jo Copeland, but hopefully my story will come to the country and be able to bring this message to our cities, not to ignore one of the major problems in our country is people that are poor.
You serve the poorest of the poor. Tell me, what's the biggest challenge for the poorest of the poor today?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is to give these people the chance to believe in themselves, to believe that they're there for a reason and they're not alone in their journey. I think that's one of the biggest things that people come in. I mean, I see lines of hundreds of people all day long, and you give them a little hope. Even if you can't do everything for them they want, you're kind. You spend a moment here and a moment there. It's just unbelievable what a kindness can make a miracle happen in people's lives. I walk away not feeling so alone. I walk away knowing that I can get something. And if I can't do it all, there's other people that can. And I know that that's one of the things in our cities. We just don't realize what a smile and an outstretched arm can do. It can make a miracle happen. I see it every day here.
And you've been open since 1985. And has the audience or the group of people that you've served changed since then? Or is it relatively the same?
Oh, no. It's since I was down here, there was a lot of singles back. Well, I spent 3 years at Catholic Charities volunteering when I left. That was in 82. And that was a lot of the people that were just under the bridges. And then as a little time went on, I started to see more children, more families. And that's when I got that award for my work there and got this little storefront in 85. And even there, it was a lot of singles, a lot of single women. But after a couple of years, I started to see a difference. And now it's just a huge amount of people. Doesn't matter if they're in poverty or if they're single or married, more children and more families that have lost a lot than I've ever seen in my entire life. This last couple of years has been huge.
Michelle, in the book, do you have some stories in there of people who have come through Sharing and Caring Hands?
Absolutely, I do. I had the good fortune to interview a lot of the residents.
Tell us a favorite, then.
Well, I think one, a recent one in the updated version, there right now there's a very big Somali population in Minnesota, and a lot of them are down at Mary's Place. And there was a woman that I met named Diamond who is a Mary's Place resident right now. And You know, this is someone who, she really had gone, before she met Mary Jo, she had gone her entire life without anybody saying, I love you, without anybody helping her in any way. You know, she was abandoned by her family. She was homeless at 13. She was raped. She was beaten. She was stabbed. I mean, you would think someone coming out of that would just be so broken. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, she was when she first arrived on Mary Jo's doorstep. But if you meet her today, you would never know it. I mean, her personality is huge. She's just exudes positivity. She is full of life and just a bright spirit. And Mary Jo did that.
That's amazing.
Fantastic. How important is prayer in this work?
Well, one of the things that the power and the peace and the strength in prayer is vital in people's lives. You can't live without the presence of God in your life. When you do, your life doesn't change. And mm-hmm. prayer has been a very big thing with me. Even with the Somalian community, you know, I have about 57 families. There's 437 kids down there, and a portion of them are Somali, and even in their world, their beliefs, it's so beautiful to see them. I pray every Thursday night, and we all, you know, they all bow their heads, and I've always taught them that the families that prays together stays together. The Somalian community has embraced that, and I think my being a Christian has shown them what Christianity is. It's mm-hmm. love, and it's believing in a higher power. It's believing in God that loves us and will always be with us, and I think that I teach everybody down here the power of prayer.
Michelle.
Oh, yeah, it's in honor of our Blessed Mother. So there's a Blessed Mother statue in the lobby, and they all know that Mary's a great intercessor. I never, ever, ever leave anybody in this line, rosaries all day, letting people know that we need to pray. We need to always pray, all of us do.
So important. And Michelle, have you been inspired by Mary Jo's prayer life or changed?
Absolutely. You know, I am actually not even Catholic. I am very spiritual. But again, when I first met her, I didn't even go to church regularly. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned so much from her.
Awesome.
Just all the way around. She's really inspired my life. I feel really like, you know, when life's little challenges come up, you know, I instead of being crabby about that all day, I try to remember, hey, you know, at least I have a washer mm-hmm. when it breaks down. At least I have one, you know, when there's tree damage all over the yard. At least
right.
I have a yard, because I know right now there's a minimum of 500 people at Mary's Place that don't.
Makes it easy to count your blessings.
Absolutely.
It's been 10 years since the first edition of Great Love, the Mary Jo Copeland story. Your family has grown. Your organization has grown. You're at a different stage in your life. Where do you feel you're at the moment?
Well, I feel I'm at a point in my life that I'll continue to grow and bring this message to our country. I feel I've got something to bring to this world, and I feel that my life and my example will do that. And I believe that God has given me great strength and great peace. There's a certain amount of grace and strength, and I feel so strongly about changing the world, and one person can't change it, but the example can go to people. And I think as this thing continues to grow, and I continue to remember that when I die, when do you rest? You rest in eternity. And so I think until God leaves me here, I will continue to bring his message to wherever I can. And I think the way Michelle wrote this lovely book, that it's going to do this time now, it will go to the national people. I'm hoping it does. I really do, because it's got a message. Our country is not exactly at peace.
Mm-hmm.
None of our
cities. Very true.
No, our country needs God brought into their lives.
It does.
In one way or another. And we need, and maybe through my example and realizing that we could all bring that in a way to the people we meet in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our cities, it's got to be done. Oh, it's got to be done. And before I die, I hope to do a little bit of it. Yes, I do.
Do you think you'll ever retire?
No.
No way. No time for that, right?
No. I will stay here till maybe when I'm soaking feet out there, I'll drop in a pan, and that'll be my way to go. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Mary Jo and Michelle, so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me and asking about the book, and I'm hoping everybody out there will buy it and will make a difference through that book in their lives. God bless you, and thank you.
Awesome. And as a reminder, you can find Great Love, the Mary Jo Copeland story, at all major bookstores, as well as St. Patrick's Guild and Leaflet Missal, and online at Amazon.com. And all proceeds go to helping the poor and needy through the Ministry of Sharing and Caring Hands.
You can find out more about the Ministry of Sharing and Caring Hands and find out how you can help those Sharing and Caring Hands serves on their website. We've set up a link on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Now, Paul and Corey recorded that segment that you just heard with Mary Jo Copeland and author Michelle Peterson-Hink last week. And if you're just joining us now, the arrival of Regan Baby number 4 is getting very close. So Corey's sticking close to home, and I'm sitting in for Corey for the next couple of months.
And we're glad to have you.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we all have different gifts, different ways to serve the Lord. We'll talk about local servants of the church, about a ministry you may not often think about, but that is essential to our mission.
Plus, he's toured with John Mayer, Counting Crows, and other big names like James Taylor. Now he's coming out with a song inspired here by our local Rediscover efforts, and you're hearing it here first. We're going to talk with musician Elliot Morris when we come back, but here's a preview of the song Rediscover as we go to break.
All for one, one for another. Name of love above all other. Every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover. Yeah, come on, rediscover. Rediscover.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Relevant Radio is grateful for our advertisers who help to keep our wholesome programming on the dial.
And many thanks to all our loyal listeners who literally drive across town to generously patronize these advertisers who share our values.
It means a lot to our advertisers and to all of us here at Relevant Radio.
Believe it or not, we actually have room for a few more advertisers. It's easy and fun. In fact, we do all the work for you, including writing and producing your new ad at no charge.
And you'll be surprised how affordable it can be to get your message on the air. Simply pay as you go while thousands of listeners are exposed to your business every day.
Find new customers while you support the faith. Call Brian today at 612-643-4110. That's 612-643-4110. Or email businessbuilding@relevantradio.com.
Turn the earth inside us till the soil shape these dreams we dream, till your love defines us, reminds us life's like a symphony. All for one, one for
welcome
another.
Back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Sarah Mealy. I'm sitting in for Corey Regan. In our second Answering the Call segment today, we're talking with a musician who's toured with John Mayer, Counting Crows, James Taylor, performing all around the country. Now he's releasing a song called Rediscover. It's been inspired in part by our local evangelization efforts right here in Minnesota. You just heard a little cut of that song coming back from the break, and the song is being heard here for the first time anywhere, just right here on the Rediscover Hour.
Elliot Morris found out about our local Rediscover Evangelization and Catechesis Initiative through Matthew Kelly and wrote the song you're hearing throughout the show today.
And we'll hear more Rediscover the song in a few minutes, but we're so excited to premiere this song today on the Rediscover Hour and so blessed to have some time to talk with Elliot Morris about the song Rediscover, his inspiration for the song, and his call to share the faith with others through his music. Hello, Elliot. Hello, my friend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me how the weather is. We're talking to you from Memphis.
Yeah, it's predictably hot and humid.
But that's something you're used to.
But the sun is shining, and I'm used to it, yeah.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about your background, Elliot. Where you came from and how your passion for music was first sparked.
Well, I grew up in Mobile, Alabama, one of six kids down there. So our house was, it was often chaotic, but very joyful home, and just filled with music primarily. That was sort of the primary medium of entertainment. My parents weren't very long or optimistic for television and its influence in our life, so that was very limited. But I grew up just around music in the house, and probably most of it comes from my mother's side, but I'm the only one that really sort of took up the effort of writing and creating my own. But it's just something, if we were home, there was music being played.
Hey, Elliot, you know, sounds like you did grow up in what we'd call a big Catholic family. Was the Catholic faith a cornerstone of, you know, of your family life growing up?
Absolutely. We lived probably a block and a half from St. Joan of Arc, where I was an altar boy. So there's so many moments in my life that are that involve Catholic experiences. And I've served more masses and weddings and funerals than I can count. but faith also was. It wasn't an exclusively Catholic-influenced life. I mean, growing up a Catholic in the Southeast is a unique experience. And
well, I can imagine it is. As a Catholic, you're a minority there, aren't you?
Well, you are generally, but on the coast and coastal areas, you're not so much. So okay. Mobile is on the coast of Alabama there, and Catholics tend, I think, to stay along the coast. So just like in New Orleans and other places in Florida, there's quite a Catholic presence. But I say very positively my life was influenced by a number of friends that we knew growing up that weren't at all Catholic, but just loved Jesus and sort of provided a place where we could continue the conversation there as well.
Tell me a little bit about Elliot Morris right now. Husband and father?
Yeah.
Family man?
Yeah, husband, father, five children. We're
wow.
I paint and do songwriting and performance.
Oh, I've seen some of your paintings. They're gorgeous.
Thank you. It's a bit of a every blessing can be a curse. Sometimes I think it's the chaos that goes on in my head, just in the fact of I'm an artist, but it's a balancing act, but it's one that I think that we're settling into. I spend quite a bit of time on the road with Matthew Kelly, doing Passion and Purpose retreats with him. And when I'm not out there, I'm at home chasing babies and changing diapers.
Well, break down for me a little bit how that Catholic faith informs your role as a husband and father. It's got to be integral.
Well, it is. It would, in part because I see the whole world through that lens of my Catholic faith and my Catholic perspective, as I understand it. And so, yeah, in a very general sense, it's as soon as I open my eyes, I'm seeing the world through that perspective. In a very real way, I think that in things like before school in the morning, the family will wake up and we'll do the Magnificat readings or something. We'll read from the Magnificat together for 20, 30 minutes and just have a little quiet time in prayer. And one of the things that my kids have really enjoyed, and it's been a real blessing to me, is a podcast called Pray As You Go, which is a Catholic reading and meditation on the reading. And so things like this, and obviously all Mass and sacraments have been integral in our family.
I tip my hat to you for finding a way to get your kids involved that they actually enjoy and you don't have to drag them into it.
Well, you know, it's a grace for us because it's not something that it's born just because of I'm such a clever dad. We have access to some really wonderful tools today. And like I said, the Pray As You Go, my 2-year-old son loves he wants to hear the bells. And so we just, it's a great place to provide quiet and really a place to encourage a sense of prayer and reinforce this sort of our place in the world. And so that's a big part of our life is that morning time together. And it's a grace, not just born out of, I think, great tools, but also, I believe, a grace in God Himself that is provided for our family, whereby they have an interest in a place in their heart for God and a curiosity for Him. So I see it as a real grace.
That's beautiful, Elliot. I'm so glad that you've shared some of your background. Let's talk a little bit about the song, Rediscover. Talk if you can about how the song came to be and what was their source of inspiration, how this all came together.
Well, you know, Sarah, I'm out with Matthew all the time, and I believe the idea was hatched somewhere in your mind.
It wasn't. Well, I can assure you, it wasn't me. You know the story. I'm driving home from the Chancery office, and I think the Holy Spirit just stopped me in my tracks. I had to pull off of 35W when the idea came, and I know that you feel the same. It feels like this has been a movement of the Holy Spirit.
Well, it was a type thing where initially, it's hard to, for me anyway, I saw what we are doing a little bit. We were connected via email, you know, Sarah, and I saw what was happening on the website and got a real sense of what was going on there. And initially, there was I wanted to be a part of it naturally, you know, because there was something happening there where you are in St. Paul, Minneapolis. And when I see something happening, I want to be a part of it. And I'm not sure that I'm always supposed to be. So I went a little bit sort of wanted to take my shoes off, you know, in a way. Mm-hmm. Say, I don't want this to be an effort of will or ego, you know, but I want it to be something whereby if I can be a part of it, then it would be that would be great. So I think I jumped into it sort of along the lines saying, God, if this is something you want me to be a part of, then I expect that the song will be made ready, and it really was. And the type of thing where I just wrote the song and thought, well, this is what I'm getting from not knowing any of you personally and not living in the area. You know, it's hard to know exactly sort of all the ins and outs of it, but the words in it and everything, I want to be obedient to that feeling in me, and I'm just grateful that it seems to fit right in with what y'all are doing.
It definitely does, Elliot. And of course, you know, it's just I think the message is so beautiful. And of course, you're such a professional. It's so well done, and it's just been an enormous gift to us. Now, you start the song with the words, "Only love can tear down these walls we've built." And I think that's something that people can really recognize in our lives and in our relationships. Could you say how you've witnessed or maybe rediscovered the power of God's love in your life, or maybe expound a little bit on those lyrics that you've written?
Well, sure. I am one of I've been so blessed. I grew up in a home that was just surrounded by love, you know, and my parents, they're heroes of mine. I really at a young age interpreted their intentions for me as being born out of love. I was blessed with tremendous friendships where I experienced this love, and I think it's 1 John 4 where we're told that God is love. And so in a very real way, I've been sort of surrounded by love and continue to be surrounded by love almost my entire life. I've got my wife and my children and my in-laws, and it's just in a very real way, daily, I experience what I understand to be God's love just very tangibly.
This is kind of a prayer of thanksgiving for you then.
It is, and it's acknowledgement too, and part of it, too, Paul, is that it's the rediscovery. Sometimes we take for granted that which we experience so frequently.
Well, this would be a good time to listen to a little bit of it. So let's hear a little snippet of Rediscover.
Only love can tear down these walls we've built. Only grace can wipe clean the stain of guilt. Turn the earth inside us till the soil shape these dreams we dream. Till your love defines us, reminds us.
Life's like a symphony, all for one, one for another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
A little bit of the song Rediscover. We're visiting with Elliot Morris, the performer and author of that song. Elliot, I understand you're going to be performing that song live at the Rediscover Celebration in October here in the Twin Cities.
I am.
I look forward to that. Got just a couple of minutes left. I've got to ask you, what is the dynamic involved for an artist and a composer when somebody comes to you and says, I want a song about this? As opposed to just waiting for the inspiration.
Well,
it's kind of a commission.
It is, but I don't believe it to be a commission from Sarah.
Okay, excellent.
So, you know, inspiration sort of begets inspiration. It's like a fire, and so. To me, it wasn't. I am not. One thing I know that I'm not is a sort of a jingle guy.
Yeah.
And so, this is not something. I could not sort of write something just to write something. I'm quite distractible, and that wouldn't hold my attention. One of the few things that will is just a fire, you know. And so, yeah, I believe it was commissioned.
Yeah, I do too, Elliot. I agree with that. I think we were all of us involved with this. We received that commission, but that was an inspiration. Not from any of us. But I knew that you weren't going to proceed with it unless you felt that fire, you felt that spark. But we're just so grateful that you did.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and certainly I cannot wait to be back with y'all in Minneapolis here in October, I guess.
Look forward to seeing you, Elliot. Thank you so much for your time with us today, and thank you for the song.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was so wonderful speaking with you, Elliot, and hearing your music today. So grateful.
Reminder that you can go to rediscover-faith.org right now to listen to the entire song, Rediscover, by Elliot Morris. That's rediscover-faith.org. We've also set up a link to Elliot Morris's website on our show page, also at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Now, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, you're going to hear from local servants of the church, now, whose ministry may not spring to mind when you think of ministry, but without their service, we could not fulfill our mission. We'll explain.
Plus, we'll hear from Father Robert Barron, Matthew Kelly, and Jeff Cavins about why they're excited about the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration.
And we'll take a look at Catholic events happening in our area. We'll be right back.
All for one, one for another. All for one.
Hi, it's Rob Dubell from Grove Builders, your local exterior remodeling company. Have you been affected by the severe weather this summer? Maybe you have just noticed that you need a new roof, but don't know who to trust. If your siding has taken a hit and you don't know who to call, I hope you'll call us. If you'd like a worry-free roof right away, or have the options of new siding, windows, or doors explained so you can make a good decision, you can call me at Grove Builders. We are a trusted and licensed local company serving the entire Twin Cities. Grove Builders. We are a certified installer with GAF and Atlas Roof products. We have the knowledge and training to install your roof with the most protection for you and your family. We are honest and reliable, with the best warranty in the industry for all of our products. You can find us at grove-builders.com or give us a call at 763-229-0923. We'll have your roof and siding done right and quickly. Grove Builders, 763-229-0923.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Sarah Mealy.
And I'm Paul Sadek, and I've got a little something I spotted in the news this week. The headline itself is fascinating.
Yes.
Archaeologists restore 2,000-bed Crusader-era hospital in Jerusalem.
Wow.
This is from Catholic News Service. Israeli archaeologists have restored part of a 2,000-bed Crusader-era hospital dedicated to St. John the Baptist and also known as the Knights Hospitallers. They were the precursors to the Rome-based Knights of Malta.
Well, that's interesting.
The Hospitallers treated pilgrims of all faiths making their way to Jerusalem, according to historical documents. Now, this hospital is being restored, and part of it is going to become a restaurant.
I saw that. That's
now,
amazing.
There's nothing wrong with that, because I happen to know that even if you go to the National Shrine of Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., you'll find a gift shop and a restaurant
there's
downstairs.
There's actually a cafeteria. We were just there this spring. You know, one of the things that struck me about this story, Paul, is that it reminds us, I think, about this whole notion of hospitality of the Catholic Church and how many things that we do to live out hospitality. And here, a reminder, this is, so long ago, Crusader era, a 2,000-bed hospital. I think Catholics have been in this business for a long time.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
I just love it. Well, we all have our own gifts to give in service of the church. For some people, their ministry is service to the poor. For others, teaching the faith to children or making beautiful music at Mass.
Now, balancing budgets or managing parish paperwork might not be the first things to pop in mind when you think of ministry, but they are certainly essential to the mission. Now, earlier this week, we spoke with parish business administrators and others at a local church administration conference and asked them about their special ministry. Now, here's how they answered.
Hi, I'm Denny Farrell. I'm the parish administrator at Guardian Angels Church in Oakville. Been there getting close to 6 years. I think the administrator position is, next to the pastor, an extremely important piece of getting the parishioners to do God's work. And this is a retirement job for me, and I truly look at it as a ministry, because I'm certainly not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because I really believe in my faith. I've got a deep-rooted faith, and if I can help bring people back into the church through making a welcoming community at Guardian Angels, I think that's very important.
My name is Deacon Bob Durham, and I am the administrator at Our Lady of Grace, the business administrator at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and the deacon at St. John the Baptist in Savage. It's actually two very different ministries. The one ministry at Our Lady of Grace is the administrator, is a ministry of making certain that we are good stewards of the stewardship of treasure that we receive from our parishioners. That's number one. Number two is, we're also responsible to make certain that when our parishioners come to Our Lady of Grace, they enter a community and a facility that is very welcoming and, most importantly, very safe. As far as the diaconate ministry at St. John the Baptist, that is a ministry that is focused exclusively, in my opinion, on making Jesus Christ known and loved in the world.
My name is Judy Berger, and I am a trustee at St. Genevieve in Centerville. I see my role as really advisor to the pastor in terms of that, both the spiritual and the temporal needs of the parish. And specifically, I think taking my relationships I have within the parish and my experience within that parish and bringing that forward for advising.
Mike Lockery. I'm a parishioner at St. Michael's in Prior Lake, and I'm a financial consultant with Catholic Finance Corporation. Prior to being a financial consultant, I was the business administrator at St. Michael's in Prior Lake. Well, I think for parishioners or for anyone that wants to give to an organization, it's important for them to feel like what it is that they're giving financially and otherwise, their time and talent, that those gifts that they're giving are being used well. And so in the case of their financial gifts to a parish or to the archdiocese or to any organization, that they want to know that what am I giving and how is it being utilized on behalf of the church. And so what I really enjoy working with parishes and other organizations to help them make sure that they're being really good stewards of those gifts and that they're communicating that to their parishioners.
It's so beautiful to hear people in those ministries who realize and accept that they are ministries and callings.
It's a beautiful lens to put on it. It's not just going through the motions of getting work done. They very much view it as a ministry. I was actually at that conference, Paul, this week. There were about 350 people from across our archdiocese, our 12-county archdiocese, all coming together to focus on how they could serve out their ministry. And they talked a lot about stewardship. So I think it was well attended, and everybody seemed to really enjoy the conference.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with fellow Catholics and ask them a question. Do you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour? If so, we want to hear it.
And there are a lot of ways to reach us. You can email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Or click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. And you can reach us through our show page there or contact us at Relevant Radio at the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com. Now, have you registered yet for the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration? If the answer is no, well, you want to register soon for this inspiring event on October 12th. 2013. We're at the St. Paul River Center. We've rented out the whole River Center, and you won't want to miss out on this beautiful celebration of our faith.
Among the speakers at the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, Father Robert Barron, Matthew Kelly, and Jeff Cavins. Now, here is what those three amazing speakers had to say about why they themselves are really looking forward to this special event.
I'm thrilled about it. I'm delighted to be part of it and eager to see, you know, what's happening there. I've been up to your neck of the woods many times over the years. The talk I'll give it will be on new evangelization, and it's born of the work I've done on the internet and what I've learned really from dealing with the secularized culture. What are some of the major obstacles? What are the things we have to do to engage the culture creatively? So it'll be focused, really, it's coming up out of my very practical work.
Well, it is going to be an exciting event where we're bringing together the faithful from all over the Archdiocese for, I think, information, celebration.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great day. I'm going to be one of several speakers. It's a great lineup of speakers, and I'm honored to be part of that. You know, I'm going to talk about how we can take this to the next level, and the Archdiocese has done this huge initiative, but how does each parish now allow it to flow down into the pews, and how does each person allow it to flow out of the pews and into their homes and into their neighborhoods and into their workplaces? But how do we, one by one, do our little bit to take the church to the next level and really help people to recognize the genius of Catholicism?
Find out for yourself why Father Barron, Jeff Cavins, and Matthew Kelly are so excited about the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. Register now for this amazing event, October 12th, 2013, at the St. Paul River Center. Just go to rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org.
Now, in addition to Father Robert Barron, Matthew Kelly, and Jeff Cavins, speakers also include George Weigel and Martha Fernandez-Sardina, plus the music of Elliot Morris, who we just heard earlier in today's show, plus others. And then Archbishop John Nyenstedt celebrates Mass at 8:30 in the morning, and Bishop Lee Pichet will speak at the end of the day. Now, here are some of the details. The Catholic celebration takes place on Saturday, October 12, 2013, at the St. Paul River Center. Doors are going to open at 7 a.m., and programming starts at 8:30 a.m. with the Mass. There's going to be special programming opportunities for children and youth from kindergarten through 10th grade, and we'll have more details on our website soon regarding this programming. And there's also a Spanish language programming track just for those Spanish speakers. Now, adult tickets are $15. Youth grades 7 to 10 are $7. Kids in kindergarten through 6th grade, it's $5 each. And as Paul said, you can register now at rediscover-faith.org. And if you don't have internet access, hey, you can call the Rediscover team at 651-291-4411. That's 651 291-4411, and we'll help you out.
Now, quick look at some other great Catholic events taking place locally. For a few weeks now, we've been telling you about the six-pack series of Theology on Tap talks at the Glockenspiel restaurant on West 7th Street in St. Paul. Those talks for young adults up to age 39 continue Wednesdays at 7 p.m. through August 14th. Topic of the final talk on August 14th, Conversion for the Already Converted, by Dr. David Deville. Now, we want to let you know there is also a Theology on Tap series taking place in Northeast Minneapolis. It also starts at 7 p.m., but these are on Tuesdays. And next Tuesday, on August 13th, Father Eric Rutten on No Man is an Island, The Dangers of Radical Individualism. These Northeast Minneapolis Theology on Tap events take place at Gastoff's on University Avenue Northeast. Talks are free. Food and beverages aren't. So come as you are and bring a little bit of cash for food and beverages. And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we are going to be bringing you answering the call, an invitation to rediscover share. Find out about a new online opportunity to share your personal faith story and be inspired by others. Plus, what is a parish? What is a diocese? What does it all mean for me and my faith life? We'll delve into the history of how and why the church developed its structure.
And local church leaders talk about how Catholic schools help fulfill the mission of the church in ways big and small. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.